Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime with KK and Lo. Lo, how you doing?
I am doing. And let me tell you why I'm extra doing good today, because I am going to treat myself. I mean, I kind of do it often, but with sponsored by KK. A Christmas gift, which we didn't see each other till like late after Christmas, so it's not that old. It's called Gypsy Spirits, and I had one a while back. It's pretty good. I'm gonna have the other one and share it with you guys.
Cheers.
Tink tink tink.
How do you
like that
the
it's
flavor?
Called Clean Cocktail.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She was looking out. She's like, that bitch don't need any carbs. She doesn't need any sugar. We're not even going to give her any gluten because, you know.
Oh, my gosh. No. I just saw them all over the internet and people were raving. So I was like, oh, let her give these a whirl. See if she likes them.
It's pretty good. My story was from the 70s today. So I figured gypsies, 70s, kind of hippie-ish, you know. The times.
Oh, that's perfect. So also, just, ding, ding, ding. Not really ding, ding, ding. This is me just being dramatic about it. But I just finished Gypsy Rose's reality show.
So okay. Another gypsy. I did not watch it, but.
They just put it on Hulu, like, recently. So I binge watched it. There's only, like, 7 episodes or something.
So it's like, something like, you're here for? Is she over dramatic? Do you think it was kind of like, just like a money grab?
All of the above. I am here for it. Apparently season 2 is coming out already in like March. That's what I heard. I don't know. I was like into like the lore and like the drama of it all, because like she's only been out of prison like literally, I don't even know how long now, like a year probably, right? Yeah, I think like a year, and she already has had so much happen in her life, like drama-wise, that I'm like, damn.
Who's your baby daddy?
Yeah, literally. So it was definitely interesting to watch. Just like if you're like bored and you just want like a stupid reality show to watch, I would suggest to watch it. But it's not like anything super profound or anything like that. But yeah,
I did see they got one out now of. Oh, what is her name? The girl that disappeared, found out that her boyfriend killed her and then he killed himself. It was a hot topic, like all last year, maybe 2 years ago. The blonde.
They're both dead?
Yeah, the cops pulled her over. She was claiming abuse on him. She was scared of him. And then he checked his.
Gabby Petito.
Yes. I'm so horrible with names. For what we do, I can remember stories. I can't remember names.
Well, names are hard. Names are like hard to remember because there's always so many names in the news like all the time.
I could see it clear as day. I just couldn't get. But I think there's a document of that out. I started watching the wrestling one, the Steve McMahon.
Oh, I think.
Is that Steve? Or...
Yes, I think I saw that.
It's something.
I didn't watch it, but I know what you're talking about.
So he's like accused of, I think, like sexual harassment or something like behind the closed doors. There's a whole WWF scandals.
Yeah, I'm not. I've heard of his name before, but I
don't think it's Steve. I think
him.
I'm stupid.
I feel like you got the last name right, but I can't think of.
Oh, no, I'm right.
It
no,
is
Vince. Okay. Damn it.
Vince. Hey, close.
See, you know, Vince. I'm, like I said, I'm lucky I remember my own name. but I am, thought I'd put in just another little new segment. It's called, What is Low Reading?
Oh, love that.
And this is called The Middle of the Night by Riley, by Riley Sager, however you want to say it. And it's about a little boy who disappeared, like the tent got ripped open and he was kidnapped in the middle of the night. And then it's been like 10 years and the best friend comes back to the hometown and his old house, and some creepy ghostly things are kind of happening throughout the neighborhood. And he's trying to figure out, now they're claiming that they found his remains, so he is dead, but I don't know. It's one of those little thrillers. I'm only like 140 pages in out of like 370. So.
Oh, you're like almost halfway there. Posted. Yeah. So. Nice. I like that segment. It will always stay what is low reading, because Kay does not read. I like a good audiobook now and then, but me and physical reading don't usually happen.
Well, I'm, you know, quite a bit older than you, so I feel like my brain is like, I mean, I can remember every word to shoot by Salt and Peppa, but I can't remember why I went downstairs, you know. So.
Oh. That made me laugh so hard, I really started choking on my own spit. But I feel you, though, because that's me. I'll, like, oh, my gosh. I'll walk into a room, and I'll literally stand there and be like, why did I even get up? Why am I in here right now? Oh, my gosh.
And they'll be like, hey, whose house did you clean yesterday? And I'm like, like, I'm just, like, stuck. And, like, when your camera's frozen, my face is, like, trying to think. But then be like, you know, hey, what was that one game that everybody loved? Oh, Mall Madness, Girl Talk, Dateline. Like, I can name them all. Like,
see, those are just the things that are, like, important to your brain. You know what I mean? Those are the things that, like, sink into your brain because you're like, I really care about this. But then, like, when you're just doing, like, the little mundane life things, it's like, meh, I don't know. I don't remember. Like, if you asked me what I had for dinner last night, it would take me 10 minutes to think of what I had.
I had chicken and roasted potatoes and fresh green beans with butter and thyme and pepper, and it was pretty good.
Oh, well, that sounds like a nice dinner.
I enjoyed it.
Put yourself on the back, chef.
Yeah, today was just a quick fix pasta, but, you know.
Hey, those always work, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, unless Kay has any other hot topics or juicy gossip you wanted to talk about or anything else, I'll jump into the story because we have a lot to unravel today.
Wait, really quick, since you said that. Real quick. Okay. Did you hear that Beyonce won the Grammy for Best Country Album over all of the other country artists?
And girl, it is all over the net that it's pretty much Jay-Z bought it for her.
That's what I'm thinking, because there's no way, because I listened to that album and, like, it wasn't that country. Like, there were some songs that were kind of country, but, like, a lot of it wasn't. And it was, like, going against actual, like, Lainey Wilson, Chris Stapleton. Like, there were, like, actual legitimate country singers, and I just feel like they got robbed.
Yes. And
I'm mad about it.
Everybody's mad too, because they're like, Beyonce said herself, this isn't a country album.
Yes, literally. But and like, no hate against Beyonce, because, like, I, you know, I like a lot of her stuff. Like, I've gone to her concerts before. I don't, like, know how I feel about her in the recent years or whatever with everything that's, like, come out. But I just feel like that wasn't really right that she won that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. There's no way she should beat out Lainey Wilson.
No.
Taylor walked away with zero, which mm-hmm. was odd. But they said she was, like, not bitter about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like Beyonce is going to have some balls if she tries to go to CMT Awards, because I don't think they're going to have that.
Dude, I feel like that'd be weird.
And I would be embarrassed if I was Beyonce, personally. Like, same. If I found out that my husband bought that for me, I would return it and, like, give it to whoever it is. Like, I do not want it. It's not even mine. Like
that upsets me, because that shouldn't even be a thing. Like, there shouldn't be no...
But yes,
like,
but people are scared of them. They're scared because people disappear around them.
I know. That's so fucked up.
I know.
It makes me not even like ever want to watch the Grammys again because I'm like, this is all like rigged. So it's so stupid. But yeah, I just thought of that when you said like if I had any hot topics and I was like, oh, that's the only thing I really can think of at the moment. But yeah, that made me mad.
It made a lot of the world mad.
Yeah.
Like, Post Malone was more country than her.
I know, dude.
Like, and I don't even think he got nominated, did he?
No, he didn't.
Which is weird because he was like selling out like hugely.
I know. I'm kind of surprised that he wasn't.
Unless maybe he'll be at the Country Awards, maybe.
I'm trying to remember when his album came out because I know there's a cutoff, like a date cutoff before they can accept certain projects. So maybe his was like past the cutoff date or whatever.
Maybe.
But
because I was like, you can't not call it country. I mean, it had like Blake Shelton and Tim McGraw and Morgan Wallen. And
yeah, his was way more country than hers.
His song was nominated with Taylor, Fortnite.
Okay. Well, I know he was featured on that song. I don't know if you've like fully listened to that song, but I'm like, his voice is so quiet in it. And it's like, yeah,
he's just kind of like a backup bro.
Yeah. But I do like that song.
Yeah.
But sorry. Anyways, you can continue with your story of today.
Okay.
The real reason people are here.
Okay. So, you know, I've talked about before, like I'm trying to plan a trip to Boston in the summer. And so when my brain was just like a blank slate, I'm like, okay, like, what should I do? And then I was like, well, I'm trying to go to Boston. Maybe there's a Boston story.
Yeah.
So I came across this intriguing but sad story.
Oh, I'm interested.
So, and this wasn't an easy case. Like, this case, it's been going on for like 50 years trying to figure stuff out.
Damn.
So we're going to set the clock back to July 26th, 1976. So, yeah, like 47 years, they're scratching their heads, right?
That's crazy.
And to identify this woman, which she ended up getting the name Lady of the Dunes, she was a handless corpse. And she was found nearly decapitated on a Massachusetts beach.
Taking a dramatic turn right away.
So the crazy part about, aside from this, like being tortured and, you know, her being dead, it seemed like she was a lonely soul because no one claimed her. No one missed her. Not a mom, not a dad, husband, friend, aunt, nothing. Like, nobody noticed she was gone. So, around 6 p.m. on Friday, July 26, 1974, a 12-year-old girl named Leslie Metcalf was at Race Point Dunes in Providence, which they also call P-Town. She was following a barking dog, which turned out to be a beagle for all you dog lovers who are wondering, you know, all the deets.
Aww.
And she kind of made friends with it on the beach, you know, as little kids do, right? So according to Leslie's sister, Alyssa, they had interviewed her later, and she was at the stables that day. She wasn't at the beach, but she said her sister and her friends had gone there to play. And they've been hanging around the dune. They have dune shacks there, which family and friends kind of rent out. And I guess dune shack is just simply that. It's like a shack on the dunes, so to speak. They originally were built like centuries ago. They were used for like cabins and crews of people who would watch for ships. If bad weather was coming, they'd kind of go there and hang out. Now they're more so turned into like little beach huts or rental places where creators can maybe set up and sell like their merchandise and just kind of like, I don't know. I kind of get like, did you watch Outer Banks?
No, I mean, I saw I saw one episode of it.
Okay, well then, never mind. It was in the most recent episode, and I say it's kind of how I get kind of like little vibes like that. But, so anyways, you see a lot of them too, like across the Cape. Now, her parents were there as well, and there are two dogs, and they were getting ready to head home, and they just figured they'd walk across the beach, across the dunes, you know, on their way back home. So they're walking, and this beagle is just kind of following them around, which was fine. You know, he's walking down the beach, enjoying his best life with this little girl. This little girl's enjoying her best life with this dog. But then the dog kind of veered off path, and it started barking pretty vividly, wildly, kind of like clearly saying, hey, look at this. Come here. Look what I found. And Leslie was like, because she's a child and she's super curious. So like, what is this dog doing? So she followed it like most people would. I would. And then it went off the beaten path. And then to her surprise, she found a motionless, possible something laying there. Maybe a deer. Didn't go straight to human yet, but something was off. And it was surrounded by tall grass. So, like I said, initially she thought it was a deer. But then as she got closer and started walking more towards it, she saw the form completely. And then she made out some legs and some feet. And she saw hair tied in a ponytail caked with blood. And then she realized what she was looking at. And then, this is like what nightmares are made out of for adults, like let alone a 12-year-old finding this.
Yeah.
So as she got closer, she could definitely smell the scent of, you know, a decomposing body. And it's summertime there, so this lady's been baking in the sun for a minute. But from what I gather, it sounds like that the ocean in Massachusetts isn't the clearest. And it usually has a little bit of a funky smell to it anyway. So that could be why a lot of people didn't notice it like right off the bat. But they figured she was probably there for more than a week at least. I mean, that makes you want to go for a swim though. I mean, if the ocean smells like a dead bodies, like how many are in that ocean?
Yeah. Note to self, if you go there, don't go swim in the ocean.
I know, it's like that smells great. You want to get in?
Right. Oh man.
But her parents said all they heard her say was mom, dad. Like she didn't scream, she didn't like really freak out. She was just like, "Oh, mom, dad, do you like maybe want to come check this out?" Like
something weird is happening.
So her parents went to see what was wrong, and that's when they also discovered the body. And this body was about a mile away from Providence Town, and the police station was like right there as well, like within miles. Now they immediately ran to the dune shack that they had been in all day, and they contacted the rangers. Leslie's recollection was that the clothing on the scene was neatly folded and placed under the woman's head. So
was the woman naked?
Yes.
Okay.
Or at least mostly.
Okay.
They said that they could see some clothing, but they said that, like, the way her hands were at first, they couldn't tell that they were missing, which we'll get into that. But they said it looks like that their hands were just kind of buried in the sand. Luckily, Leslie didn't see that the head was almost decapitated either, because that could have really made more trauma on her.
Yeah.
It said that it looked like she was just laying there asleep, sunbathing in the nude, but she was face down, which some people do lay on their stomachs if they want to get their back.
Right.
But apparently the friends and family who had rented the dune shack that summer, they didn't go back, like, ever.
I wouldn't either. That's so traumatizing.
Leslie's sister, Alyssa, said the family had been visiting for a while, for years they would go there, but, you know, it seemed like a pretty safe area, but they just didn't have an interest going back either. They said back then it was very safe. Kids could walk around. Parents would do their thing. Nobody thought of anything. It was just like, go play, see ya. You know, no one thought anything of it. You know, it was the 70s.
Right.
Alyssa said her sister said that no one really interviewed them about their experience. They just went off whatever the ranger told them for details. Now, I don't know if it's because she was 12 or, but you'd think they'd still want to talk to the parents because the parents saw the body.
Right.
I mean, they could have talked to the dog. Your dog's the one that initially found it, but.
The dog's the true hero here, really.
They said that Leslie was walking her dog, which wasn't even correct. It wasn't even her dog. So right off the bat, they're messing up the story.
Right.
Get some facts, people.
Got to go right to the source. Like, what the heck?
So Park Ranger James Hankins, he was the first officer on the scene, and he said she was laying face down naked on a green beach blanket. He could see her red hair and that she had been severely beaten over the head, and she was also seemingly missing her hands. They were not buried. He and other media outlets had said that the hands were shoved into the sands with pine needles around them and around her arms and where her hands should be. And it made it look like she was doing push-ups. So he said it had been like if she was lying alone or on a blanket. They also said that it was if somebody had clubbed her. So there's no sign of a struggle, and even the sand around her didn't look like it had been disturbed. And a lot of people were saying, like, it didn't seem like any signs of struggle, not even that much blood splatter on the sand. So this was very confusing, like, right off the bat. Ranger quoted, "It was as if she had been laying there alone or on a blanket with someone, and someone came up to her and clubbed her. There is no sign of a struggle. Even the sand hasn't been disturbed," which maybe she was bathing. Maybe she'd fallen asleep in the sun and never seen it coming. And as far as nude, a lot of women, this is me saying it now, like a lot of women, I feel like are confident and they have no problem lying like topless or naked at some. And especially if she was off to the side in a little bit of a taller grassy area where she wouldn't be noticed, it might not be that of a stretch that she was laying nude in the sun and just fell asleep. And then her perp got her and she never even seen it coming.
Right. Because it would be weird if they just randomly like undressed her and then like folded her clothes up under her head or whatever. So I feel like that would make sense if she was just trying to like get a full-on tan type deal or whatever, and she just did it.
And that's what they're saying. She had a pair of Wrangler jeans, and they said it was folded up like a pillow under her head. And there was also a blue bandana under her head, and she was laying halfway on a light green blanket. So, which tells me it looks like she set that up herself. And people, you know, even kind of speculate that she was using the jeans as a pillow to lay down.
Yeah, that would make sense. Because that would be weird if someone, like, I mean, yeah, people have done weirder things. But it just seems odd that someone would fold it up and put it under her head like a pillow after they just killed her. Like, I don't see why they would do that.
Like, here's my DNA all over it.
Yeah. Like. Right. So I wouldn't be surprised if she just did it herself.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Now, Warren Tobias, he was a retired acting police chief in the town, and he definitely said that she was posed there. But again, possibly sunbathing first. So maybe she was murdered there. And then obviously if he took her hands, he posed her in a certain way, you know. Right. Her hands didn't just get up and walk away on itself, you know?
Yeah.
So different theories, different people. James Hankin, the ranger, he made a call at the time to Jimmy Meads, who I guess both in law enforcement, both friends, called him and was like, hey, listen, I got this case. And he was a trustworthy officer and known around town to be like really good and honest. So he trusted him with the case and, you know, Meads like, I'm on it. I'll be there. You know, he felt very connected to this case and he took every opportunity to push it forward, like really knocked down doors. He talked to anybody and everyone. He even had a forensics team come together to create composites. He was just putting like all his energy into trying to find out who this woman is. He was, quote, saying he wouldn't retire until he found out who she was. And for years, he actually had her skull in his office as a reminder to himself that she was unnamed and she cannot be forgotten. Yeah, your face kind of matched mine when I was...
Interesting tactic.
Yeah, that's a fun dedication, yet creepy.
Yeah, very much so. Like, it's like nice, maybe, question mark, but also like that's super bizarre.
But I like that he has so much compassion that he didn't want her to be just Jane Doe, you know?
Yeah, right. Like, I feel like he had nice, like, well-intentioned, but just an odd way of going about it.
Yeah. He also got her dental records and all the information published anywhere that he could find, constantly brought up her case. He would talk to anybody and everyone about it. Like, he was just trying to keep it in the forefront and make sure she was not forgotten. Eventually, he did get the dental records. They're pretty interesting, to say the least. He quoted, with most murders, you try to figure out who the murderer was. I've spent years trying to figure out who the victim was. As the years dwindle on, more dentists will retire or will die. More dental records will be lost, and the opportunity for identification will diminish. Maybe someone on death row will die to cleanse his soul before he dies and confess to this murder. It appears that someday soon I'll retire and this case won't be solved. But I'm sure whoever follows me in this job, if they get the lead, they'll call me and I'll be ready. And each chief after him have made a priority to bring this case back up and try to solve it. Every chief after him has been like, priority number one is solving this case. So when Meade showed up after Hankins called him, he showed up with two other detectives that evening and he saw the scene and he immediately said, this is Tony Chop Chop Costa.
Hey, now, love the name.
I don't know who Tony Chop Chop Costa is, but I want to know.
I mean, I was going to say he sounds like a fun time, but actually maybe not because they're saying that he might be like the killer, but.
Well, if you go by Chop Chop Costa, I'm guessing like.
Oh, Chop Chop. I get it. Yeah.
Maybe.
You know, my mind like envisioned like some guy in like a fun, like salsa dancing outfit. You know what I mean? Like that's immediately where my mind went.
Okay, I don't know how you got there. I was thinking more of like a chop shop with, you know, body parts and because her hands were missing. So chop, chop, chop.
Yours makes much more sense. Mine just, yeah, it's just a weird vision. I don't know. It's just so where my brain went.
Maybe coming soon, Tony Chop Chop story, because I'm kind of intrigued now.
Yeah, same.
Just because of the name alone, you know what I mean?
Literally. Like, it's a touch and grabber for sure.
So Meade had actually known Costa since he was young. And when he moved to Providence, he and Meads had been the one to recruit Costa as a drug informant before he turned into a serial killer. So, I mean, there's that. And because of his help with the drug enforcement cases, Meads wrote him a letter to get him early parole when he was in jail for a non-payment of child support. And because he basically wrote the letter so he could get him out, you know, early as a drug informant, he got him out 5 months early, November 1968. And 2 months after he was let out, he murdered Pat Walsh and Marianne Wasaki. So, I mean, he pretty much got straight to work.
Yeah, he wasted no time.
Was he, like, thinking about that in his prison cell? Like, Pat Walsh, right. I'm coming for you? Like, I mean...
He had nothing but time in there, so I guess he was plotting things out.
I mean, we're only speculating, people, because we don't know who he is, but we're going to know eventually.
Yeah, we will find out.
So Meads was part of the investigation. He actually spoke to Patricia Morton, who was the rooming house owner, who told him that Marianne Wasaki and Pat Walsh had spent 2 nights at her rooming house. Tony Costa had also been staying there at the same time. She told him that they had interacted, but then he hasn't seen the girls in a few days. And as they know, Tony killed them, I guess, allegedly. We don't know the story. Apparently, spoiler alert, Tony killed them.
I know we're decades late, but still we're saying allegedly.
So that's why their head immediately went to Tony. And, you know, dismemberment stuff, Costa, chop, chop. I mean,
so many
things. Then they realized it couldn't be him because on May 12th in 1974, he died. So, I mean, he kind of killed himself. But again, spoiler alert, these are just little things that, you know, we don't know why they just, but we will. So they pulled out the bloodhounds. Nothing. Nada. The beach alone was hard because you got sand, which moves around with the wind. Water, which, if the tides come high enough, can rinse stuff away. I mean, this beach, it definitely wasn't like, hey, sure, let me help you out, you know. No, it was definitely giving the chief a run for its money, you know.
Yeah, working against them for sure.
Autopsy was done on Saturday, July 27th, 1974, and it came out she was 5'6", 135 pounds, estimated somewhere between 25 and 40 years old, and she had a athletic build. She had long hair, which was reddish and described as kind of auburn in a lot of places. It was in a ponytail. And they couldn't actually determine what color her eyes were because, well, she was decomposed, you know. So I guess when you stop blinking, things happen to your eyes. So keep blinking, people. She also had pink toenail polish on, which that tells me she cared about her appearance, maybe a girly girl. So that also tells me that it seems like she wasn't like a homeless bum. She wasn't just, I don't know. Just to me, it sounds like she was put together. I can't tell you the last time I changed my toenail polish because I've been so busy, but I mean, this girl had time.
Right. Yeah. Like she wasn't like you said, I wouldn't imagine that she was like homeless or, you know, out there doing anything like bad or like whatever, because I don't know, I just feel like if she seemed very like put together, she probably was just like your average girl around that time.
So we're gonna go back to those teeth. She had a lot of missing teeth, but they're fairly sure that was from the murder. They think that this was on purpose because she had a lot of gold crowns in her teeth. So that estimated between $5,000 to $10,000 worth of dental work in her mouth. They actually sent her dental records out to a dentist all over Massachusetts and also the FBI, Royal Canadian, like everywhere, and nothing. Like, no one can say who she is, which is so weird. So it tells him that somebody killed, whoever did this killed before. Like, this was very callous, like, to pull the teeth out and to know which ones to pull out, like, particular ones. This was, whoever did this was not, wasn't like their first rodeo, I feel like.
Yeah, or they did like a stupid amount of weird research beforheand.
Which that's very, so that's gotta be hard, you know.
Yeah, true.
You gotta go to the library and get those little slide things.
Right.
Sign the book so they're gonna know who signed out how to take out teeth.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So now we're gonna get to the hands because those were definitely taken off. And instead of just taking the fingerprints, nope, they just took the whole hands. Again, somebody who knows how to take away identification, because sadly, they did a really good job because nobody can identify her. They said that she was also sexually assaulted with a wooden block, but they think that was done post-mortem. I know. Gross, right?
It's so gross. Like, why? Terrible.
I know.
Terrible. Yeah.
They said her hands were cut off. One was at the forearm and the other one was at the wrist. So no fingerprints to identify her, no hands. Whoever had placed her and piled the needles around her, like, they did it intentionally. And they said that the left side of her head had been crushed like an eggshell.
Ugh.
The medical examiner said it looked like the blow had happened from someone lying next to her while she was asleep. There wasn't a sign of struggle. She was on one side of the blanket, so it seemed like that she may have known her killer, or at least slightly been comfortable with the person, because if she fell asleep and then didn't see it coming. With her head trauma, they thought this was due to a combination of multiple strangulation and then also a blow to the head. So maybe they tried to strangle her, but she was fighting back, or just they couldn't get it done. So then instead they just hit her in the head.
Yeah.
They said it was done with a tool that's called a military entrenchment tool. That was the actual cause of the death, was a blow to the head. And in case you don't know, because I didn't know, a military entrenchment tool is a collapsible spade used by the military, and it's really sharp, and it's usually made of steel. James Hankins said, and I quote, "The only instrument that could have been used to hack off her hands was an instrument carried by almost all dune buggies. It was a standard issues for anyone in the infantry, usually soldiers in World War II, Korea, they carry them. It was very sturdy. They were very heavy metal. And it had a semi-pointed spade-like blade on it. And it could be folded down, like the handle would be folded down and raised back up to perpendicular. Almost like a hoe or like a shovel. And then it had a straight handle around 18 inches long. And they used it mostly for combat to fight your enemy. But you could get this really at any surplus store, camping stores. A lot of campers would use them. So, yeah.
Ugh.
And then this next part is like really gross. And it's my fear for when I die. They said that there was a ton of insect activity on the body, like maggots. And
yeah. I mean, oh gosh, at least she wasn't like consciously there while they were. I mean, I hope not, at least that, you know, all the bugs were on her, but that's just really sad.
Yeah. I always have that fear. I mean, I know I'll be dead and either in a casket or cremated, but either way, it doesn't sit well with me. Like, you're just going to burn my body, and I know I won't feel it because my spirit will be gone, but that's so morbid. And then to put me in a wooden box, I think of, like, maggots and worms yeah. all over me. Like, that's my body, like, gross. So I'm just not comfortable of what happens to me when I'm gone.
Yeah, we just need to find what do they call that?
Taxidermy. Like a fountain of youth. Maybe like a taxidermy me.
We were on two separate pages. It's so funny. You want to get taxidermied and I'm looking for a fountain of youth.
Well, we'll go with yours first, but if it fails, like, if I go before you, I want to be taxidermied and I want to sit in your office like this in front of a microphone.
Wait, hold on. I have to go back to my camera so I can see you. People would, like, literally never speak to me again because they'd be like, you're fucked up. I'd be like, there's something wrong with this girl.
Put a sign around my neck that says, stay creepy.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God, what the hell is wrong with me? It's the gypsy people. It's the gypsy fucking.
That's so funny. It's like, it doesn't even go to your family. Like, I steal your taxidermied body and, like, put you in my office like that.
Oh my God.
So fucked up.
Oh my gosh. I don't know what's wrong with me. So, also, the stomach contents indicated that she had recently eaten a meal, burger and fries, which indicated she'd been in town that day. They said that maybe she had hit the burger and fry joint and estimated was about 10 days ago. So they figured she's possibly been there for about 3 weeks. I don't know how it went from 10 days of food and then there as long as 3 weeks, but.
Maybe like by the time it digested or something.
Maybe. They were thinking that she was possibly killed somewhere else and then maybe put there to look like she was sleeping. But other people, like, I don't think so. Because, like, nothing else seemed like it was disturbed, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a head scratcher for a lot of people. Lack of stuff at the crime scene is just very struggling. You know, the blood, there wasn't a lot of blood like you would think. She was face down. Do people bathe on their stomachs? I say yes, because I flip over when I tan on the beach.
Yeah, I think that's normal.
But I guess it just depends on how, I mean, if she's doing like child pose, and yeah, somebody probably put her that way, you know?
Yeah.
But they can't rule anything out because they just don't know. And it's frustrating because they don't know. So no missing persons match the description, like nothing, nobody, not a phone call of, hey, have you seen my sister? They searched local motels, hotels, asked someone, you know, for matching descriptions. No one returned a call. Nobody, again, just silence. Now, a detective named Detective Flynn quoted, it's certainly unusual that no one is missing her. She must have a husband, boyfriend, parent, someone. She had been pretty well taken care of. We know that. So she was in a state where obviously she had $10,000 worth of dental work in her mouth. You know, that's not just some money that people have floating around. And then my thought was like, maybe she was a loner by choice. Like, was she running from a bad relationship or a parent, a friend? Somebody would know where she is. But I mean, maybe she didn't want to be found. I mean, it's the 70s. A lot of people kind of do that little hippie hitchhiking, just on the road vibe. Like,
right. Like, maybe she's from a completely different state. And, like, she just told her parents that she was, like, going to go somewhere. Maybe with someone. Maybe by herself. And maybe, like, they didn't have the best relationship or something. And so they just never thought to look for her, I guess, maybe.
I don't know. And I mean, the 70s, it's not like cell phones where they could call and check up on her too. You know, they'd right. have to wait and say, oh, hey, mom, I'm at the such and such hotel, or I made it to Aunt Francine's, or, you know, whatever. But mm-hmm. if you're going to Aunt Francine's and never made it, you think Aunt Francine would call and be like, hey, where's Jane? You know?
Right.
So There are two pairs of footprints in the sand. They said that they were heading towards the body, but they never went up to the body. So that was odd slash interesting. There was also a set of tire tracks about 50 yards away, but that could have been, I mean, weeks have gone by. It could have been anybody's. Over 30 different police officers searched the entire Cape and had zero leads. Now, a few years later, they were getting a little desperate, so they sent Jimmy Meads to New York City to see a psychic named Yolanda Bard, who was known as the Queen of Psychics.
And at this point, you know they're getting desperate if they're going, they're traveling to New York to see a psychic. Because I feel like most cops would be like, no.
Yeah, so they're desperate. They're like, what can it hurt? Let's do this, you know? So, you know, they went and they did their thing. And apparently they placed the case. It was an envelope and they put it down in front of them. It was sealed, you know, and they asked her what was inside. They're like, prove to me that you're a queen. And she said that there was a bloody piece of evidence in that envelope. And they're like, okay, that could be like a lucky guess because it's a crime scene. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But then she said she saw dripping and she said there was a beach. Now, she didn't know what the victim, who it was or what they were talking about. She just said that there was a beach and the victim was found and she said her hands were buried. So she gave him directions to where the hands would be found, buried. And they went back to Providence to look. And they're like, okay, we're going to go check this out. And he put everything in it. He went to the place that she indicated. And the place was called Ace of Spades, which is a bar in town. And when they got there, it just so happens that there was a drip onto the beach from some of the sinks. And they had told him about it. And when they went downstairs, they found that, unfortunately, just 2 months ago, they cemented the basement all up.
Damn.
So, I mean, I get it. Like, people cement their basements, but it's all about the timing, y'all. All about the timing.
So that's crazy.
Fishy, fishy, spishy, spishy. I mean,
I'm like, is somebody at that bar involved? Is it the owner? Like, it could be a coincidence, but that's still just weird.
Yeah. So James Hankins, the ranger, said that he walked away from the crime scene that night and he noticed something when he walked away and he said he didn't say anything and it bothered him for years. He said he saw pictures and words drawn in the sand that was a little ways away, but he didn't look at it hard enough. He thought it was just kids drawing like they do in the sand, but it's the Cape and people do that. But, you know, kids are here all day, every day. But for some reason, it just didn't ring that they were kids' drawings. He said it bothered him because he didn't investigate or take a photo. And whoever drew those things was definitely close to the body recently because it had been either erased or the wind or waves had done it earlier. And he just stated that it always bothered him that he didn't take a second to like really go see what it was. Now, the body was finally laid to rest at St. Peter's Cemetery in October of 1974. Her tombstone says, unidentified female body found Race Point Dunes. That's just like so sad.
I know. Like, that's so sad that she had a whole life. Like, she was a person and nobody knows. Like, her grave just doesn't even say her name. Like, nobody knows who she was.
I know. But Alyssa Metcalf said that her and her sister Leslie, the ones that found the body, they often go to the cemetery and visit her.
Aw, that's great.
Because they feel like even in the passing life, they just want her to have respect and everybody should, you know, have like somebody. So they just go and respect her spirit.
That's so nice.
It is. That's amazing.
Yeah.
They also said they felt like they had a weird connection to her and it just always bothered them that they didn't know who she was, which I don't even know them, and it's sad that nobody knows who she is.
It is kind of interesting that, like, for some reason that dog was so set on, like, barking and, like, leading them to her body, almost as if, like, her spirit was, like, leading the dog to, like, lead them to find her. You know what I mean?
Very possible. Maybe it was her dog.
Yeah, true, because I didn't know who the dog was. Yeah, honestly.
But in 1987, 10 years after this, a Canadian woman came forward and said she thought this could be her, could be a victim of her father's.
Oh.
Apparently, when she was young, she witnessed her father strangle a woman while she was visiting him in Providence in the 70s. Now, this woman, she was like, I think I recognize her as this woman. So they get the information, they tell me he's about it, and he's like, I'll go to Canada, I'll interview this lady. They try to contact her again, get some more information. She moved out of her home and they literally couldn't find her. She was gone and never was contacted again.
Nice.
So that's like a big WTF for Meads, right?
Yeah.
And
I'd
be
so frustrated if I was him and that happened.
So clearly she was trying to help. And it's like, well, why did you change your mind? And then I'm thinking, like, did her dad find out and kill her too?
Right. Like,
did somebody say, like, your dad knows what you're doing. You better bounce. Like, mm-hmm. So maybe she's either got or was like, shit, what am I doing? And took off.
Right. Like, or maybe like her dad threatened her, like, found out that she like called, like, who knows, but that's weird. I think there's something to that. And now I don't know, like, obviously if this was the woman that her dad killed, but like, that's just weird that she would say that and then like ghost.
Right. But then there's also a Maryland woman who called and said that she thought it was her sister. She just moved to Boston. And I guess recently before this happened, her sister had suddenly disappeared again, spending time around the same area. No one knew where she went. She said she just disappeared, vanished. She gave her sister's height, weight, and hair. Meads asked for her sister's dental records. They were able to ship them to Meads, but unfortunately they were not a match. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, that lady in Maryland, she probably had her hopes dashed too, because she was probably looking for justice or some kind of closure. And now both sides are bummed because it's not either one of them.
Right. Hopefully that lady found out like where her sister was, and hopefully she was okay and she found her eventually. That's sad.
I know. The crime scene now at the time, I guess, is early 70s. It was the biggest tourist attraction on the dunes. Even now it's pretty big. People go and take a look and I'm like, what? Creepies. And then I'm like, yeah, I mean, Crystal would totally do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Like, be like, whoa, this is the area where this thing happened.
Well, it's like the Lizzie Borden house, which we say we want to go do, which is also in Massachusetts, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And people sleep there. Like,
that, I don't know if I could do that. That's scary.
The Borden house?
Like, to sleep there. I would go there, but like sleeping there, I wouldn't even sleep.
The Borden house or?
Yeah. Like, I would go there.
You know it's set up as a hotel though, right? Like,
I know, but like, I just feel like I wouldn't even sleep. I'd be like so freaked out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out when we get there. So they did exhume her body in 1980, 2001, and 2013. And I'm like, for God's sakes, can you please let this woman sleep? Like, seriously. Like,
she's been thrown off.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But advances keep advancing in science and forensics keeps happening. And every time something advances, they're like, okay, let's bring her up. What can we use? Like, they are dedicated to find out who this woman is. Like, and then again, she gets brought up and then nothing. Now, a woman who people might know as Sandra Lee, she's a crime writer. She said when she was 9 years old, she actually discovered the Lady of the Dunes first with her sister, but was too horrified to tell anyone at the time. She was nine and she was also with her dog that stumbled upon it. And she quoted, I stumbled down an incline with my dog. The dog was ahead of me. My dog got excited about something. I heard a very strange noise. And if you can imagine someone holding a string of pearls, that's the sound that I heard. And then a horrible smell. At first, I thought it was the low tides, but then she was face down. Her hair was a mess. And I could see a gouge in the right side of her neck. Her arms were tucked down in the sand. I didn't know anything was missing. I just recognized a green blanket right away. The lower half of her body was covered with something. She later found out that something of holding the pearl necklace, which is a sound that she thought she heard, was actually sounds of thousands of maggots crawling all over her body.
Oh my goodness. That
she says she she is sure that I am either one or a couple other people who must have stumbled upon this body in those 3 weeks and just were too scared to say anything. She says kids were all over. I'm sure more kids seen her and just did not say a word. Somebody thought that she might be a woman named Rory Jean Kissinger. Now, this was a 24-year-old woman at the time. She matched the height and she matched the weight of the Lady of the Dunes. She was also known to be a drug dealer, a bank robber. She was picked up at one point running around naked in the woods in Pembroke, saying that she had been sexually assaulted. An off-duty police officer brought her to his home and then called for backup. When she got there, she turned off the lights, stole his gun, and then she said, "I had to kill him." And he wrestled it from her, but she ended up going down. She went to jail for assault and intent to murder. She went to jail in Plymouth, and on March 26, 1974, she escaped from jail because someone smuggled in a hacksaw and she sawed her way out. I mean, this bitch, it's street cred, okay? Like,
literally, that is, what the heck?
I don't know if I want to say she's bad boss, but I mean,
yeah, wow,
she's got some cred, and she's never had
some cred there,
and they never seen her again.
Damn.
So there is another theory that is super cool that I want to talk about, but we are at the hour mark, so I am gonna do that next week, and then there is a little bit of an updated version to where you guys might just know who actually did it, but you got to come back next week.
I'm intrigued because I don't know. So I'm going to be back.
And it's going to be really cool to hear the next theory. I was like, oh my gosh. Tune in next week and let's see if we can figure out who, I'm going to call her Jane Doe instead of unidentified woman. She at least needs a name for now. So we're going to go with Jane.
Yeah. So poor Jane. That's rough. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of part two. And yeah, freaking sad story, really. And also the part where you were talking about the author lady who found her as a child also. And then she's like, I'm sure more kids stumbled upon her. I'm like, how many people just saw a dead body and said nothing? Because that's crazy.
I know. Because I would for sure go home and tell my parents, I feel.
Same. But then it's like maybe the parents like blew the kids off. Like, no, you didn't. You did not see a dead body. You know what I mean?
I'd like, yeah, I did. Come follow me. I'll show you. That would have been my personality.
But... yeah, yeah. Gosh, that's so insane.
I know.
Damn.
But until next week, we got to go.
Stay creepy, guys.
Bye.
Bye.